Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We just love it. And we're here to talk about it in the rugby dungeon. I'm Tim. Phil's over there.
Hello, Tim.
And there's JB.
Hello, Tim. And isn't it nice, the first time in four podcasts to be all together?
Is that right?
It is, yeah. It's a fourth attempt at trying to actually make this work.
Yeah.
Because you two were jet setting and travelling the world.
We don't like talking about it, mate.
And then you were drinking alone, is what JB said. What was the truth in that?
When was it? On the Tuesday night? I certainly wasn't alone. I was drinking with work, unfortunately, and I didn't get the memo about the Tuesday night podcast. So I suddenly found myself quite drunk at about 11 p.m. and you two messaging me.
I got impaled on a tree, had major surgery, and I still made the podcast. Have a think about that.
Yes.
Right, well, on this podcast, we've got an international match to talk about in the form of Wales. There's loads of domestic rugby that happens. There's some brilliant talking points, and there's some other things going on besides. Did you get your fill of rugby this weekend?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe not as much as I usually do, but three matches, that's okay.
Okay.
That's solid.
Solid.
So you were in attendance in at least one match?
Two.
Oh, which was the other one?
Leicester Wasps.
Yep. Nice.
And Queen Saris.
Two great games, last minute deciders in both of them
as well. Which, of course, from my perspective, you sort of go through, in my head, I'm like, all right, okay, here's the talking points I want to talk about. If this team's winning, then it flips.
Yeah.
And I go, just screw that up, rip it up and think about it. But no, brilliant games. And there was a number of fantastic games this weekend.
There really was. Just a quick one for you then. As you've seen them both in the flesh, two guys I'm really impressed with so far this year, Youngs and Kerr. Who looks best in the flesh?
What do you mean, who looks best? I automatically started thinking you meant like, who's better looking?
Danny Kerr's better looking.
Danny Kerr is better looking.
Tim Visser is an incredible specimen.
Yes.
He's a giant man.
Yeah, I mean, we're broadening out the conversation. I completely agree with that.
You've got two other good English scrum half in Robson.
I was going to say Robson, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he is... Cipriani made a difference and people talk about his impact on Wasps. I think Robson is arguably more important than Cipriani.
Wow.
He adds so much pace.
I think the difference, though, Robson creates stuff for himself. Cipriani, I'm not sure, kind of historically, if I've truly appreciated how much he does for other people.
Yeah,
the space he puts other people into is. He played very well.
That like little drift and late lift to an oncoming forward runner. He just puts people in holes, doesn't he?
But there's always the option out the back as well, and that's what creates the hole. Because if you've got just one straight runner. It's very telegraphed.
So there is speculation, isn't there, that he's going to be leaving the club at the end of this year. His deal's up. Nothing new has been announced. And the biggest bargaining tool he has now is the fact that when he wasn't there, they looked dreadful.
Yeah. Well, that's not true in the last few weeks.
No, they've kind of...
They righted the ship without him.
Yeah, I always referred to it last few weeks like sort of a family unit getting over a massive trauma. eventually kind of accepted it and moved on.
An addict coming off crack.
Correct.
Like, you're going to have a real bad period, but eventually you'll start getting back to normality.
And now they've got a load more crack in their system.
But also players like Willy LaRue started to play like we know he can.
Willy LaRue had some awful...
He really is. He like as about as volatile as they get.
Yeah. But he is looking much... The last couple of weeks he's been brilliant, but he had some shockers. Like the Percy Montgomery horror game, or the Benders game when he got targeted by the two Alagis. Those kind
of
horrors.
Or Billy Twelvetrees game.
Or just most Billy Twelvetrees games.
So with Sippers, I wonder, because you're quite right to point out his contract is up at the end of the season and his future has not been decided yet.
Mate, sale Sharks. I am telling you. That is the strongest link.
I think there'll be a few suitors, but it's just for Wasps. Do you think it's the fact that how shall I put this? Do you think it's going to be a decision between what he's able to do on the pitch and how he fits into the whole club? Putting it like that, you could read between lines.
I think that is a consideration. I think it's on his shoulders, and I think if I was Mr. Cipriani, I would be very, very tempted to be heading to the south of France for a 2 or 3 year massive payday. Yeah. I think he's so far off England's radar now that he should just go and take the money.
That's a fair shout.
When you're playing that well, I mean, yeah. His disruptiveness will ultimately be decided by how good he is on the field. So if he's really good on the field, people will basically start saying, he's not really that disruptive. But I bet if you start losing, he's a nightmare.
One player who I did see today in the flesh, and I thought, bearing in mind it's not an area of strength for the national team, Alex Good is such a classy fullback.
Isn't he?
I was looking at him again and just thinking... How are you not anywhere near the England setup? I can understand him not being selected or even in a matchday squad, but man, we're not that blessed in that area.
Well, it's just Mike Brown, and then you go to Watson, and I think there is a huge drop off for Watson's a brilliant winger. I don't think he's a brilliant fullback.
Yeah, and we spoke about this at length. Watson conundrum. But I'm pretty sure I'm on record as saying I believe Alex Good to be the best all round rugby player in. Maybe in the UK.
You are definitely on record saying that.
You're definitely on record saying that. So, we've got a few little tangents I want to take us around. The first one, did you watch the Rugby League World Cup final?
Absolutely, I did. It was marvellous.
Just the highlights. I was dragging crap out of a basement.
Bodies and stuff.
Bodies rolled up in carpets.
It was... The big takeaway from that Rugby League World Cup final... having watched a lot of rugby league for much time, is just how brutal it is. And I think this is partly to do with the way that rugby union has evolved over the last few years. And I couldn't quite get... It was mind-boggling, the physicality and the in union terms now, the illegality of so many of the hits.
Do you know, it makes so much sense, though. I guess the feeling I had is... Similar to the feeling that a battery chicken has, do you know, when they're like released into an open yard and they realise that they can walk again and they experience freedom. Like watching rugby league, it felt like I've been released again. I can finally enjoy contact sport the way it should be enjoyed. The whole thing about the high shots is completely wrong, because union, from what I can tell, is getting more cases of concussion than rugby league. Yet rugby league, in a game, has many, many more tackles, like three times more tackles, and almost all of them are high. And the reason is because union players are hitting their heads against hips and knees, and it's not the tackler getting injured, it's the tacklee. So, the wrong way around. It's the tackler getting injured, not the tacklee.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, if you're making a tackle...
In union, more head injuries
you're
occur
your head
to the
on
tackler.
The wrong side. You know, look at someone like Salmon Hill, always getting knocked out of games. Rugby league, you're going high, so you don't really get the concussion issue. But yet somehow they dress it up as a class action lawsuit waiting to happen against rugby league. Should be against rugby union for these stupid, irresponsible and dangerous rules.
Well, that we've talked about this before as well, but I think that, and Phil would use the phrase, the law of unintended consequences, but I think the reason for rugby union having evolved the way it has is to avoid the class action lawsuit in years to come when players inevitably raise it. However, what it's actually done is increase the prevalence, not decrease the prevalence,
correct,
of concussions.
So it's a weird kind of juxtaposition they find themselves in, which is the thing that they did to prevent the concussions is causing more concussions. So who really has the lawsuit?
Well, we've not got enough data to say that yet, since the changes of bringing the tackle lower.
Yeah.
So we can't say that. And also...
Well, the injury audits are there for you to look at.
No, but concussions are the... There's just not enough data. As in, you've got...
And there's a lot, there's a lot of things...
years going back.
And there's a lot of things that were recorded recorded as concussions now, which...
Historically wouldn't have been.
Which wouldn't have been even mentioned. It would have been a magic sponge, get on with it.
So we will see, though, in time, we will see that. There's also more differences than just more tackles in rugby league and rugby union. The tackles are far more predictable in rugby league because 4 out of 5 tackles are just one man crashing up straight.
What do you mean? Because they're easier to recognise, easier to brace for or protect yourself?
Yeah, it is just a straight runner, running hard, but running straight.
Mm.
And in rugby union, because it's more unpredictable, that's when you get injured. That's when you get heads in the wrong place, when people are more likely to step or coming off the side of a ruck or coming around a maul.
You get
that
blindsided
kind of thing.
Or something.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's a fair point.
I don't think it's quite that simple, but I think it is very interesting that if you're getting fewer concussions in a sport where there are significantly
so many more
collisions, yeah.
It's like 600. No, hold on. I'm not going to commit to a number of tackles a game, but it's high.
But I remember looking at stats. Someone like James Roby, this is a few years ago, but he was making like between 30 and 40 tackles and 30 and 40 carries a game, which is just
enormous, isn't it?
Absolutely enormous.
Tell you who is an amazing rugby player, and we'll never see him in union because he just wouldn't fit in, and he's a bit old now. James Graham.
Yeah,
I
he's
love
a good
his
player,
hands.
Isn't
I mean, I've never seen such good hands on a big man.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great player. And it does say something, like the English guys who go and make it in Australia, it really says something about their ability, their skill set, their physicality as well.
I do wonder if this Rugby League World Cup is sort of like the dead cat bounce for Rugby League.
I'm not sure, because until Friday evening, I'd not seen a single thing in the press about Rugby League.
No, and it's quite
like
a good
the general. I'd seen a bit in rugby press, but in the general press, it was just not mentioned at all.
Mm. You've really got to hunt down rugby league scores.
Yeah, you really do.
Let's stay on the international arena, but back to union and Wales chalked up a win against South Africa.
Mm.
How do we summarise Wales' autumn? Because it finished on. Meh. I don't know. Is it a high or did it finish on a? Well, that was all right.
Well, they played the loser bowl, didn't they, against South Africa to work out who was the most overworked and lost team in world rugby. And that is South Africa, I can officially confirm.
South Africa are worse than Wales, yes. Yeah. We know that now.
I mean, what was the point in it? I just think it was such an ill-conceived game. This fourth test that... I mean, I think there's some sort of deal, isn't there, with the regions that they get more money from it, or there's something, you know, some sort of deal there.
They'll get a split from the because it's WRU money.
I just don't see the point in it, and just, you know, why not add another 80 minutes to Alan Wynne-Jones's several million minutes of rugby? You know, what do we need to learn? What do we need to prove?
It was quite an impressive first 80 minutes for Hadley Parks.
Yeah,
a man who would have grown up dreaming of pulling on the jersey.
Well,
Hadley Wynne Parks.
Yeah. Hadley Park sounds a bit like a
Welsh. It does sound Welsh.
I mean, you'd be forgiven for mistaking him for someone from the Valleys.
You would do. No, he took his try as well. I think the bit you can take out of Wales from... So, they would have hoped to get a win against Australia or New Zealand. They weren't quite good enough on either of those. They'd finished with 2 wins against Georgia and South Africa. Probably the biggest thing is the strength in depth that they're building.
So Wales?
Wales, oh, in certain positions. So,
which ones are you thinking of?
Well, Hadley Park's coming in. Steph Evans coming in. Navidi and Shingler were good.
Yes. I think that's a big positive, isn't it? That, you know, Navidi now can play international level rugby.
Yeah. Gareth Davis played well at 9, which you kind of already knew, but...
He gets a lot of stick, Gareth Davis. Lot of stick for someone who's so good.
And Alad Davis looked pretty solid on the weekend.
Corey Hill seems to be improving.
Corey Hill's not a bad player. Lion Corey Hill.
Lion Corey Hill, of course.
Lion Mark 4? five.
Something like that. Yeah. Scott Andrews. I mean, do I need to see an international rugby game where Scott Andrews starts?
Yeah.
Is that really an international rugby game?
Yeah. So that's fair enough. But in certain, so in probably centres, there's a few more options around on the wings and back row. Wales are actually fairly stacked on the back row now. Because you don't forget, you've got Warburton and Moriarty to come back in. You got Tipperick, who's
Lydiate.
Not really played. Lydiate, I think we might have seen the best of Lydiate.
Maybe.
And obviously, Faletau's still class.
What was I going to ask? I was going to ask something very interesting to Tim, because I think Phil knows the answer. Mr. Scott Andrews has played another position in a competitive rugby game. What was it for Cardiff Blues?
Seriously?
Yeah. And it's not in the front row.
So he's a tight end prop. I'll say that there was an injury and he got slotted in on the flank.
He started in a position. It wasn't
started?
Not. Yep.
Must be blindside flanker.
Sure. I don't know the answer to this. Second row, maybe?
It is second row.
What? Well, they were doing Uini Antonio with...
Yeah, but he's a bit smaller than Uini Antonio.
Well, yeah, he is a bit. He's about 30 kilograms lighter because virtually everyone is at least 30 kilograms lighter.
Minimum.
I'm guessing he's not a jumper.
No, it was a European Cup game against an Italian team, I do believe.
Okay.
So, Scott Andrews, tight end prop and second row.
But what an absolute mess South Africa are in.
It's sad.
Yeah. They've,
it is.
There's been times this season when you thought they were kind of turning corners. That I'm thinking of that New Zealand game, particularly in South Africa, which was a brilliant game, brutal and brilliant. And New Zealand eventually snuck it, but South Africa looked good for 75 minutes. But then it kind of, every time they look good, they then kind of fall apart again.
Yeah, they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
But that's almost a product of how unstable their environment is, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And there's, I mean, I had an interview with a guy on the Rugby Dungeon this week who is a South African journalist, writes for SA Rugby Mag.
Great magazine, actually.
It is, actually.
It's a really good magazine.
And he was saying there's 300 South African players playing around Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, I've got an idea for you. I might have mentioned this last week. It's to solve the ridiculous issue of you needing 70 or 50 or 40 caps
to play for a country.
Yes.
Yeah, you did mention this.
You have mentioned this on the midweek
domestic pod.
So, back to domestic matters then, and just how competitive, and I'll ask this question, the Avicii Premiership looks incredibly competitive this season. I'm going to put it out there, as a result of teams that we thought would be better not being quite as good. And maybe in one case, a team that we expected to be not as good being much better. So one of the big stories there, Gloucester find themselves after this weekend's matches in second place in the Avicii Premiership table. You'd have got long odds on that after 10 games.
You certainly would have done. The most astonishing bit about Gloucester, so before we go into competitiveness, the most astonishing bit about Gloucester being in second place is they're on -2 points difference in second place.
Yeah.
Saracens are on +134 in third place. So this is, do you remember last season we continually spoke about Gloucester not being able to close
out
games?
Nine times they had defeats where they were within seven points. They were never able to win the tight matches.
Whereas this season they've just been sneaking those tight matches and they've managed to get over the line. And there's probably a couple of factors. Some of their young, talented guys, and they have got some young, talented guys. Purdy and Thorley on the wings. Yep. Billy Burns is playing very well. Pelledri, Ludlow, Freddie Clark.
Freddie Clark.
Yeah.
Well, this is so important, isn't it? And I want to bring this up when we talk about maybe Northampton later. But that seems to me to be the recipe for success. You know, get young, talented academy products, back them. Because, you know, the future talent's got to come from somewhere. It's probably in your academy somewhere. You've just got to stick with them and, you know, see what they do. And that's exactly what Gloucester
does. So on the subject of the massive level of competitiveness, so what I'm contending is if we just take Gloucester out of the equation as an outlier, otherwise it's more competitive. Exeter 10 points clear. So take Exeter out the equation as the outlier. They're where we expect them to be. There's other teams we expected to be better Wasps haven't performed as well as they can do. Saracens now have lost three on the bounce.
Yeah.
Leicester have sort of Jekyll and Hyde on occasions. They look like they were much better, but they occasionally slip.
So what doesn't stack up for you there is you've removed the two outliers and then you've said that...
All right, so just Saracens and Wasps then.
Aren't as good as they were, but they've actually been defeated by your two outliers. So, reasonably, you'd say they're probably as good as we expected. Exeter are the class of the league by a country mile.
So what I'm saying is it's much more congested because I know what you're saying. Gloucester are better. That's contributed. Mm. But Wasps, we can talk about where they are now, but they were, relatively speaking, poor at the start of the season. And Saracens, although haven't played terribly, found themselves on three back-to-back defeats.
Yeah.
Again, you'd have got unbelievable.
Yeah, or five if you count the Anglo-Welsh.
Five if you count the Anglo-Welsh. That, I mean, you'd have got probably even longer odds on that.
Yeah.
I think the way you've got to look at it is not who's winning and who's losing to who, but is this team a better or worse version of itself from last year? And in that respect, you've got to say, probably Saracens are not where they want to be. Whereas Exeter have just powered on again. There's another 5%. And we've been adding extra 5% for about 4 years now. You compound that and it's a hell of an improvement.
Well, I suppose today, it's not the first time Saracens have lost away at Quinns. And Quinns seem to raise their game for this particular fixture.
They do.
But the previous two defeats where they lost to Exeter and to Bath? No. Was it Bath?
Tigers?
Who beat Saracens 2 weeks ago?
Oh, who beat Saracens 2 weeks ago? Gloucester.
Yeah. Gloucester, yeah. So they lost to Gloucester and lost to Exeter away.
Hmm.
They were massively impacted. So whereas Exeter seemed to have this incredible ability to... One guy's out and they bring someone of equivalent level in.
Yeah.
Saracens are not able to do that despite having an incredible squad. No, they're not.
They're not. I'm with you.
I disagree. So you say they're not able to bring them in. They had three England locks playing today. They had Callum Clark, who I thought was going to be signing of the season, seems to have underperformed.
Yeah,
Jackson Ray.
I wouldn't say so. Jackson Ray is not Billy Vunipola, but Billy's been missing most of the season.
I've not seen Conlon play other than from the bench. He hasn't started yet.
Lead.
Oh, what's happened?
That's all right. That's all right. Just making a buzzing noise. That's fine.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I think of it less about today's game, but more the previous games where you're missing, like last week, missing Farrell and Lazowski and Mako and Jamie George and Itoji.
This is where I disagree, because last year you would not say that the replacements that they would have bought in were inferior. So the only guy who is irreplaceable in that side, in my mind, is Billy. And he'd be irreplaceable in almost any side because he's so good. The rest of them, there are really good replacements and you would expect them to win. They just haven't.
Well, I think what I'm just comparing and contrasting with Exeter, and I think Exeter's replacements are closer to the first
drop.
Choice.
So
you're right. It's a strange thing to say about Saracens, given the squad that they're blessed with.
Yeah, I mean, Skelton's on the bench, and he's probably the largest man in the Premiership.
Yeah, He is the largest man in the Premiership.
And then you got
Berger
on the bench.
Is he the best man in the Premiership?
He's very good when he came on. He was very good.
I'm not sure.
He's busting tackles, carrying hard. I thought he was all right.
He made a couple of carries.
Yeah, he did all right. Shout Brits.
Shout Brits is class.
One for Gallo, Vincent Cock. These guys are basically second choice a lot of the time, and they're bloody good. So that's where I stand on them. I just think they've underperformed a little bit. It's a little bit of a blip. And like Tim says, you've got two outliers in there. And what do you know? They lost against the two outliers.
Well, I suppose it's hard. You shouldn't really describe Exeter as an outlier. They're only an outlier in the sense that they are not performing below where we might have imagined that they would.
Yeah, they are performing. Yeah, they are 5% better than last year.
I just want to briefly say Christmas is coming up. If you haven't noticed, we're in December now. As we're recording this, it's December the 3rd.
Goodness me, newsflash.
I know, incredible. So 22 days until Christmas. So here's an idea.
Okay.
Spend £4 on the old fella or on your husband or your brother or a cousin or your missus even, whatever. Because get £4 for an amazing Cornerstone razor. It will come imagine wrapping up in your Christmas wrapping paper just for £4. It will look like way more than that. A beautiful Cornerstone presentation box with an aluminium, heavy, weighty, engraved razor shaft.
What a good
get
idea.
Get the initials engraved on it. 6 razors delivered to you. Premium, precision-engineered German razors, award-winning razors. We love them. You will too. £4. You cannot go wrong. Just because you listen to us, you get a great deal on it. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg Tent at checkout.
Santa Claus, just a little message to you. If you want to buy any to put in people's stockings, that'd be a great shout as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good 70 work. Billion sets or whatever it was.
Well, just give one to every 1.3 or 1.4 billion people in China.
Exactly, mate.
That's a good idea.
There we go.
You can podcast for a long time on that.
Right. So I've prepared a little quiz, which I want to play at this point, which is inspired by, so no research on your computers now.
Yeah.
But you will need to write down your answers.
I know how suspicious Tim is. He's not told us what this quiz is for 24
inspired
minutes.
Inspired by David Pace's red card.
Ooh.
Making him... He had the most yellow cards in domestic rugby. He's now one behind Julian White for the most red cards.
Ooh.
So... And I know Nick Kennedy was very, very unhappy with David Pace.
It was a silly red cards giveaway, wasn't it?
Very silly.
It was.
And in the context of the season with... Yeah.
He's a captain, isn't he?
He has been. I'm not... I don't know, actually.
I think he was a captain yesterday, but I don't know.
He may
He's
have
definitely
been.
Captain in the past, yeah.
He has been, yeah. I'm a big fan of his. I have been many times. He's a nuggety, tough little player. Right. So I've got a quiz inspired by red cards.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, first question. Two nations have received 3 red cards at the Rugby World Cup.
Okay.
Since 1987. Name the nations.
Can I shout out, or do you want me?
There's two of them. Just write down your answers. So, question one: two nations have received 3 red cards.
Two nations.
Just two nations have had 3 red cards, not at a single Rugby World Cup, but just overall.
Got you. Crikey.
Okay.
Give me a second. It's just a guess. Right, okay.
Okay. Right. Which Tier 1 nation has received the least number of international red cards?
Bloody hell, this is difficult.
So I'm going to take it from the... Excluding the Pacific Islands nations, just Sanzar
and
the Six Nations. Which of those nations, it's one of those, which one of those nations has received the least number of international red cards?
Okay.
All right. 5 Englishmen have received red cards. The first one was Mike Burton in 1975, which I'm not going to expect you to have to get.
I've just written that down.
How many of the other 4 can you name?
Oh, dear.
I'll only allow 4 guesses. I would think you should be able to get one, minimum of one.
I think I might have 4, you know.
What? No way.
I think I have.
No way.
I wonder if it...
I think I've got...
I've got 3.
I think I've got 1.
Okay.
Who else is there? Who else?
You can come back to that. I'm going to give you another. Okay. I'm going to give you another question. Name the Argentinian teenager who famously knocked out England's stalwart Paul Ackford to get red carded at Twickenham. Is only his second Test match. He was at hooker. Teenager.
Okay, can we?
Teenager at the time. He was a hooker. He second Test match at Twickenham, punched and knocked out Paul Ackford.
Right, next.
Phil's looking blank, Jay.
Yeah,
I think you're right, mate. Okay. Sam Warburton was red carded in the World Cup semi-final against France in 2011. Can you remember the score in that match?
Yeah, next.
No, but...
Jay's...
This Jay is,
When it comes to discipline and red cards and stuff, Jay loves it.
Or ill-discipline.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't that.
And finally, name the Samoan player to receive 2 red cards in international rugby, one against England in 2005 and one against South Africa in 2013.
Against South Africa.
Name the Samoan player.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A really good guess, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
It is tough, but
do I have to spell it correctly?
Thank God, no.
No. Do you know what I'm gonna actually say? Name the Samoan winger.
Yeah.
To receive two red cards in international rugby.
I think I had it before that.
Well, so many it sounds clues. Like you. Sounds like you both. Well.
I'm trying to get the guy who was a winger, but he was also something else as well.
I'm trying to get the Argentinian.
Yeah, name the Argentinian teenager who famously knocked out England stalwart Paul Atkins.
I can't remember
in his
name.
Second Test match at Twickenham. There was the four England red cards besides the first one for Mike Burton in 1975.
Oh yes, so five in total.
There was the score, Wales v France in the World Cup semi-final when Sam Warburton was red carded, and the two nations with the most red cards at World Cups.
All right, then.
Just give me a minute. On the Argentine. Okay.
You can keep guessing until that question comes up. So the two nations that have received three red cards at a Rugby World Cup.
I don't know this.
Neither do I.
No, Wales. I wouldn't guess you. Sorry?
I went for Samoa and Wales.
I went for, a bit stereotypically, Samoa and Tonga.
Well, you got 1 point because Tonga were one of them. Canada the other.
Canada. Oh. My boy, Jimmy Cudmore.
Who I've met and touched.
Right, the five Englishmen that have received a red card, excluding Mike Burton.
Have we not got the fewest red cards in?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. The international, the tier one team, or Sanzar Six Nations team, with the least number of red cards.
Fewest.
Thank you.
Scotland, that one. Boy.
Wasn't that glorious? That episode of Game of Thrones.
It was.
When, what's his name?
Stannis
Baratheon.
Oh yeah, Stannis.
Yeah.
It's fewest. Sorry, what'd you say, Jay?
Scotland.
I've gone for New Zealand.
It is New Zealand.
Oh.
Yes. So Phil, for all your concern, you're 2-0 up. Okay, so the four other Englishmen to have received a red card besides Mike Burton. You've both got written down.
Just let me write one more down, because it's going to be an absolute guess. Yep. But I'm going to go for this chap. Okay, I've got four down.
Go on, then.
Do you want to go for one?
Yep.
The only one that I think I've got is Elliot Daly.
Correct.
I've also got Elliot Daly.
Last autumn. That's point each. Go on, you pick another one, Jay.
Simon Shaw.
Correct. Simon Shaw did get a red card. Phil.
I've gone for, predictably, Danny Grucock, but that's incorrect.
No, it's correct.
Is it?
Danny Grucock did get a red card in 1998.
Wrong. Wow.
So I have got another one.
Yeah.
Lewis Moody.
Is correct.
Oh.
You've got all four there.
So don't mention Harry Ellis. He's my last guess.
Okay, then. So
you got 2 points for that?
2 points, and you got one, so it's 4-3.
Oh, you got Simon Shaw.
So it's 3 points to four in your favour, Phil. Mm. So, now is it the Sam Warburton one?
No.
No, it was
Argentine.
The Argentine player who got a red card at Twickenham.
So, I can't remember the name of the hooker who played for Toulouse, played until he was 38, then coached at Brumbies and Australia.
But it wasn't him, so don't worry about it.
So it's not him. Fine. I don't know then.
It's Frederico Mendes.
It is Federico Mendes. And it is, you've got to see this punch. It's like, it looks like a different world. Spectre Ackford takes the fall. Well, Roy Mendes, you're nicked. Because you cannot have that sort of incident. Paul Ackford had his back. Paul Ackford has his back to Federico Mendes. And he just wipes him out, cleans him right out.
He obviously said something, didn't he?
So it's 4-all. With a couple of questions left.
Here we go.
Sam Warburton. So, Wales v New Zealand, what was the score?
The World Cup final, I think, was 9-0.
No, it was 9-7, I think, the World Cup final was.
Yeah. Anyway, I believe it was 9-7 also in this semi-final.
So I had it down as 13-9.
It's 9-8.
9-8.
Oh, do I get a point for being closer?
No, you don't. That wasn't part of
it. Because I remember... I knew they got nine. I remember Lee Halfpenny missing the kick.
Yeah.
To send them through. So I assumed it was seven. God damn it.
I'm going to might have to come up with a tiebreaker question, because the final one is, name the Samoan player to receive two red cards in international rugby, one against England in 05 and one against South Africa in 2013.
Well, so my original guess on this was Epi Tione. And then you mentioned the winger, so I've gone for Tuolangi Senior.
Which one?
Alisana.
Tim, you're a winger, so I had Alisana Tuolagi.
Oh, you had it already? Oh, sorry. So I remember
him punching a teammate at the time, Lewis Moody.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the England game.
And the other one was an absolute...
Moody got a red card in the same incident.
Did Moody also... I thought he got a yellow card for that.
Because he took Cueto high in the air. Cueto lands. Moody hits someone. He hits Moody.
Right.
No, he gets the red card for taking him in the air.
Yeah.
Lewis Moody plows him with a punch.
I thought Moody got a yellow card.
Yeah. No, that's right. So Phil would have won if I'd not given the clue.
Tim.
So I'm
loose gonna, lips.
I'm going to go for a
tiebreak.
A tiebreaker.
More red card action.
So I've already mentioned Julian White as the most red cards.
Mm-hmm.
On a knockout basis, who can name one of the players? And David Pace now has three. But there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players who have two red cards in the Avicii Premiership.
Oh my God.
Well, write one down.
Okay.
Just in case Phil says the same one. Write down your first guess.
Okay, I've got one written down.
Go on then, JB.
Hartley.
Incorrect.
No! He got a red card in the final. He's had two red cards before.
Oh, has he?
You got one in the Premier League.
Unless these stats may be out of date.
Yeah, he called thingy a cheat.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Hold on. It may well be that the data that I have here is out of date.
Yeah. Likely story.
Go on, Philip.
So I've got Jim Hamilton.
No.
Hang on. Leicester Northampton, he called the ref a cheat, and he also got sent off against Saracens. I'm sure he did.
And didn't he get sent off another time against Leicester for punching Tom Youngs?
He elbowed him.
I've made this an absolute.
What a farce!
I tried to have a tiebreaker. I'm just going to call it a draw.
It's like Craig Maxwell Keys refereeing the Exeter breakdown at the AJ Bell. He made it up.
You will find yourself suspended from future pods if carry on like that, JB. Right, it's a draw, 5-5. Sorry, Phil, I cheated you out of a win, really.
Disgrace. It's a moral victory.
Now, someone tweeted us, I'll find out the name in a minute, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us, and they tweeted with a suggestion. So they listened to us talking in a previous podcast about, we understand why red cards are given, but we'd like red cards to be...
We'd also like them to be
for egregious things like gouging, punching, stamping, that kind of thing. And he suggested orange cards, which apparently happens in other sports.
I've never heard of it.
Where
I understand the principle, I think.
The principle is it works like a yellow card, except the player cannot return to the field but can be replaced.
It gets replaced and it gets reported as a more serious incident.
Yeah,
I like it.
I don't have a problem with the yellow-red.
I like the NFL rules of ejection.
So the player goes...
Yeah.
But you carry on with the same number of players.
Yeah, correct. So maybe a yellow... So basically the same as the orange card, effectively. The team goes down to 10 men temporarily. 10 men. 14 men temporarily. But then you can replace that player. Which I quite like that. Because it does destroy a game. Especially a really tight...
It doesn't destroy a game, though.
I think it does.
Say a one, having been a man down for the last 15 minutes...
Yeah,
Munster hammered Glasgow. Racing won the top 14 final the other year.
That is true, but
Australia
lost to Scotland by a landslide.
Australia were losing that game anyway. Australia might have added an extra try.
You mentioned Ireland in South Africa, another red card victory.
Yeah, so each player needs to work 7% harder.
Still.
And teams are so well drilled at playing a man down now. It used to be. People used to say a yellow card was worth 14 points, was worth two tries.
Well, it was to Wales.
It's nowhere near anymore, unless you are already weak enough that you could concede 14 points at any 10-minute spell.
I'm okay with yellow and red cards, to be honest. But I do, at the same time, wish we could put the genie back in the bottle with regards to it, the sliding scale of what equates to a red card. But that's not something we need to get into now. But anyway.
Can I mention something? Have you ever heard of a book called The Grudge?
No.
Is this in France? French rugby?
No, it's not.
Is it Scotland, England?
Scotland, England, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's from a guy, do you know who Tom English is? Sports writer for, I think, The Times in Scotland.
Yeah.
And he's wrote this amazing book called The Grudge, which I was reading when we went over to France. Yeah. I want everyone to do this. Go on YouTube and look up the Scotland versus England game from 1990.
Okay.
Was that the Grand Slam decider?
Yes.
Tony Stanger scoring in the corner in Murrayfield.
Yeah, it was...
David Soul, Scotland captain, I remember that.
That's the one. So, Jim Jeffries on the flank, Calder on the other flank.
Finley Calder. Craig Chalmers.
That's the one. And Scott Hastings. English does an amazing job of building this thing up so well and describing exactly what happened in the weeks leading up to the game. He paints an amazing picture about the political situation, Thatcher, and how much the Scots hated them, and how much they detested Will Carling.
Yeah.
So they thought, right, I'm gonna watch this game. One of the best games of all time. Almost unwatchable. It was almost unwatchable.
Why?
It's so bizarre, because there's no lifting in the lineouts.
Yeah. So that's the lineouts are a lottery.
Yeah. The referee blows his whistle. This is, no word of a lie, about once every 20 seconds. But then they reset so quickly. It's like scrum, reset, scrum. Reset scrum.
The players bind up and engage on their own.
Yeah. There's no. It's
no messing about.
Yeah, it's like a completely different.
It is an alien sport. I remember. So I would have been a mini rugby at Newbury Rugby Club, and we used to, like, loads of families would get together that Six Nations time, and I remember watching that at a friend's house. It was one of my earliest rugby memories. That. Yeah.
Well, isn't this what savage? I mean, this is how good... the book is really good. I recommend it to anyone. Scotland coach, Jim Telfer, right, is making the lads push on a scrum machine. And then he gets his substitutes and he makes them dive in between the gap where they're pushing on the scrum machine. So the players pushing the scrum machine can ruck them out of the back. Ruck him harder! Like, what?
Oh, I used to... Like, I know it sounds very un-PC now, but I used to love a good, like, shoo-in when someone was on the wrong side of a ruck and you let the opposition police it and ruck that guy out. You're not going to do that again.
Yeah. Well, and also
the problem is people just did do it again.
Yeah.
Because it's like a badge of... You wear the stud marks like a badge of honour.
Exactly. People
so
like
it
doing
didn't
it.
Actually police. Yeah, it didn't actually police anything.
Like a Lewis
Moody. They just take a shoe-in.
Someone like a Lewis Moody used to make... his living by being more mental than the next person. And I was at a game against, this is my last story on rucking, Old Winians, mate? Not Old Winians.
Yeah.
Old Anselmians in Colwyn Bay. And it's a pre-season game. And the ref does his talk. And this is when...
Sorry.
It's all right?
Sorry, go on.
Okay, then. And this must be like 13 years ago. And it's just when rucking was kind of becoming illegal. And they started to try and regulate, like, okay, maybe you can only shoe his face and you can only do it twice, that kind of thing. Anyway, the referee took it very seriously. He says, no feet on anyone. And we were baffled because you just put your feet on people. What's going on here, Tim?
I'm just getting you some music while you tell your story.
Oh, thanks.
Hold on. You'll see.
So, like, sir, how do we get this guy out of the ruck? Because it's easy. You come here, and he actually pulled someone out, and he made someone lie on the floor, and you got another player. He said, right, you go to his feet... I'll stand by his head. And on the count of three, we're going to lift him and we're going to move him out the ruck.
What? Like you're lifting furniture?
Like you're lifting furniture. And we were baffled. We're like, this is what you want us to do to get a man out the ruck. This is exactly what I want you to do.
What?
Yeah.
That was a really bad effort of me getting the Hovis music, by the way.
It really added to it.
really did. I don't want to be one of those guys that sounds like it was better in the good old days. That's not what I'm saying. It's a different sport. It's a different game now.
Yes, it's a completely different game.
Which is why it was so nice to see, although the players kept a lid on it, but it was nice to see almost a fight in the Quins v Saracens
match. They hate each other, don't they? Yeah. Which is weird, because they're probably all mates in England camp. But there was a lot of testosterone flying about.
There was a couple of nice moments in the... Actually, I know, straight after the game, the like you say, they're fierce rivals, but then great mates.
And do you know what?
There was a lovely moment in the tunnel before the game, Jamie George and Carl Sinclair. As Jamie George was running out, they did a little handshake and a wink and as they were walking out.
Jamie George seems like he's great mates with everyone.
I think he's really like a nice guy, though.
He's really good mates with Elliot Daly as well, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, those two are always mucking about on Instagram together.
Well,
doing bottle flipping and coffee pouring.
Did you see what Elliot usual. Daly? Did you hear what Elliot Daly was doing this week? The week just gone in
no.
training, he was wrapping all James Haskell's stuff in cling film.
Oh, excellent! Well done, well done, you.
Speaking of wrapping, did you see the sail bus videos from their win away at Worcester?
No,
I saw the changing room one. But what was the bus? No, we need to see this. Is this on Instagram stories or something?
Yeah, it's probably disappeared by now. Because James O'Connor was rapping Eminem.
Was he?
Yeah. With his bleached blonde hair.
Ooh, that's exciting. If only I was allowed to speak to him, I'd ask him to do it again.
Probably you could get within 100 feet of him.
Maybe that restraining order wasn't in place.
I've just tried to Google it, and all I've come up with is James O'Connor seems to take pride in building his rap sheet. I don't think that's what they're talking about.
Close enough.
That'll do.
There's other types of raps we could mention, but anyway.
Well, just going back to Quinn's Wasps a second. Quinn's Wasps? Yeah. Oh, well, no,
Quinn's Saracens,
but also Quinn's Wasps, right? Quite on the sly. Quinn's one of the most annoying teams. I don't mean like their inconsistency, their form, as in the personalities that they have, just to get underneath your skin.
Marla's good.
Marla and
Sinclair.
Sinclair. Care.
Yeah.
Brown.
Brown's good at. What about Hall? Hall likes to, you know, put it about a bit.
Yeah.
And then Rob Shaw wanders around looking disappointed at them all.
Oh, what a hero that man is.
Is the moment of the season so far the squirting water at James Haskell?
Probably. That's, as in, like, certainly the wind-up moment of the season is definitely that.
Because you can't do that, sir, and then Danny Kerr squirts more water in his face.
Yeah.
On his way off.
But the Haskell takedown is brilliant.
Yeah, it's an awesome... I think that's my moment of the season so far. Ooh, I might go and watch it later.
But again, talking about the... I'm not saying good old days, that's not what I mean, but if you want to go and look back at something, it's only a few years ago, but go look back at Tuilagi slamming Ashton in the face.
Oh my God.
Never seen anything like that on a rugby field since then. And he takes it.
He takes it.
Stands up. And doesn't Tuilagi only get a yellow?
I think so.
He did get quite a long, I think he might have got a 7-week ban or something for that. Yeah.
Well, did he get a red and Ashton got a yellow? Was that what happened?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ashton's push. Ashton, who is playing remarkably at fullback for Toulon and scoring tries for fun.
Does it surprise you he's playing fullback?
It does, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. I think he'd probably be very well suited to it. He's got a remarkable sense of timing and his positioning's always been quite good.
Well, his timing is very good offensively. I still got questions on it defensively because that's what held him back from England.
I mean, he reads the game well.
Offensively.
I guess you can...
He reads it better than anyone offensively.
But are Toulon actually winning games? Because it feels like he's scoring tries and they're losing games.
Well, they smashed Lyon this weekend.
Oh, did they?
By 39 points to 12 or something.
And
is
that quite an English thing that you've just touched upon there, where rather than celebrating...
What they can do.
The great things that they can do, the thing they can't do is a limiting factor. You look at guys like Christian Wade, although, albeit, his defence was outstanding for Wasps.
Mm.
Yeah, James Simpson-Daniel is a great example.
There's loads of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, there's many rugby bodies littered
Benders.
Around the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very English thing to do. He must have got 20 or 30 caps, Ashton. Did he get that many?
Probably around that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the Wasps game?
Sure.
Because we're there-ish.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Tim was there.
I think that Wasps are bona fide again.
I tend to think they're back.
With
Sippers makes a big difference. Robson makes a huge difference.
What about Leicester?
That's without Launchbury and Hughes as well, let's not forget.
Yeah,
two big players.
But Nizam on Nizam Carr is a decent replacement. He's not quite the same, but he's a decent replacement.
Think they'll keep him?
He's going back to Stormers, he said, for the next Super Rugby season. But
he looks like a good signing, and if the money's right.
Yeah.
Everyone has a price.
Yeah, he'll be on more. Certainly, when he converts it back into Rand, he'll be on a lot more at Wasps than he is at Stormers. Or anywhere else he wants to go.
Watch this space.
I tell you what I think is having a good season is Gareth Owen. And I was a little bit suspect of this signing. But he seems to do a pretty good job for Leicester.
Yeah,
playing in the centre.
Powerful lad. Seems to always make a break. Although he always then seems to get tackled or make the wrong decision.
Yeah, he's okay, but he's a squad player. He's a squad player. He's never going to be a first choice.
No, well, not if Tamu was fit. Yeah. Do we know any more about him?
Well, Tuilagi was very nearly selected.
Ooh.
Or he was very, you know, Matt O'Connor said he trained all week and they considered him and just made the call in the last minute not to. But how naive was it of Leicester at that stage in the game, off the top ball, messing around with it? It was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But
yeah.
I wondered if, could that be the fact that George Ford was the captain at that point, not Tom Youngs? I wonder if Tom Youngs was still on the field and captain, whether he would have just made the call. Right, we're up the jumper, let's take a draw. And George Ford, being George Ford, is like, I want this ball. Give it me off the top.
And it would make sense, that theory, wouldn't it? Because if you're George Ford, you back yourself enormously.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what you do. And you know, conversely, I guess Youngs would back himself too.
Easy to, hindsight's 20/20, but it just, in that stage of the game, it just seemed, having worked so hard to get yourself level, it just seemed like a really naive call.
Jonah Holmes, was he just good on the highlights or was he good when you watched him?
Intercept try, which he took well to fend off Wade.
Yeah.
He took his other try. It was fairly routine, wingers finish his other try.
It was two well-matched teams. Mm. And yeah, it was a good game. It was brilliant how many Avicii Premiership matches were tight like that. The Bath Exeter score looked tighter than it really was.
Yeah.
That was Exeter in cruise control, taking their foot right off the gas.
Well, they had the bonus point before half time and doing exactly as Exeter do, which is beating Bath up in the forwards, like steamrolling them in the forwards, and then when they've got the platform, just nice little hands, bit of skill from the backs, crash over in
the
corner.
It's amazing, isn't it, that anyone in that Exeter pack is not considered by Eddie Jones because they don't do enough hard carrying.
I know.
We're talking about Don Armand.
The Don Armand one is astonishing. But
you don't carry hard enough. I don't know what else he needs to do. But this is one of the reasons that England are going to come unstuck now. It's all unravelling.
You're still going on that one.
Yep. I'm on record because I want it to be on record nice and early what's going to happen. I just know these things.
Like you're on record that Haskell is a shoe-in for the 7 shirt until the World Cup.
I didn't say shoe-in. I thought he'd get back in the squad.
Yeah. I think a lot of him, I don't think he's ever getting back in that England squad.
He's going to have to play very, very, very well. Yeah. I'd love to know where they rate that Gloucester pair in the England reckoning.
I think they won't be on the radar really yet.
No.
Pelledri, certainly not.
Well, no, he's Italian actually, so definitely not. But Ludlow, I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, he's a solid player, but
Pelledri's not Italian.
Ooh.
His dad's as Bristolian as they come.
So he's played for,
interesting you should say that,
Italy under-20s.
Is he playing for Italy under-20s?
He has played. So he's 22 now. He has played for Italy under-20s.
Oh, I see. Was he overlooked by England then, clearly?
Presumably. But if he plays for Italy under-20s, my guess is that because Italy don't have a second team, that would be their second. Because Italy don't really have a sevens team either.
Really? That means he's not English qualified. That can't be right.
So my assumption would be that he is. I'm not sure. He must have
his EQP, right? Because everyone raves about that. Like, that's what you need, basically. For a lot of players, that will be the difference between starting and not.
He'll get his academy credits, won't he?
Yeah.
But he might not necessarily have his English qualified player.
Wow.
Well, actually, let's just go back to something you said before the podcast. What was this Victor Vito stuff?
Oh, yes. So there's a story doing the rounds. Again, it could just be clickbait stuff, and it's not got to any advanced stage, but Ma Nonu, Stephen Luatua, Stephen Luatua, a couple of others have joined Charles Piatau in saying they would like to play for a Pacific Island nation in a future World Cup. Mm. What they need is for World Rugby to relax their laws on playing for more than one nation if there's been a gap of time between it.
Mm. What is that? There's nothing concrete. It's just them saying they would like to represent a different nation.
No, it's not saying the laws have changed, so they will. There's a growing number of players who've played for New Zealand, Australia, or whatever, who would like to, should it be allowed.
Mm. I don't know. I don't necessarily like the idea of playing with two nations, or do I? I'm trying to think of this. No, I'm fine with it. I think you should be able to go down, but not up.
Yeah, we spoke about that before. Yeah. I could go with that.
And as long as there's a significant amount of time between playing for one nation and another, more than 2 years.
Yeah, I think more than 2 years.
Should be like a residency or short of a residency. I don't know.
It should be short of a residency because 5 years is too much. Maybe two or three. Yeah.
I don't think you should be able to play in consecutive World Cups for two different nations.
That's a good point.
Which is why I think four. But
yeah.
If you don't play in a World Cup, feel free to move about.
And also, you should be able to, if you're not selected, we should have the Barbarians World Cup team.
Oh, my.
So if you're not selected, you can play in the Barbarians.
It's a lovely romantic idea, but that can never happen.
Everyone would have a second team.
So where would the Rugby World Cup live if they won it?
Oh, next to the JB Cup somewhere.
Nomadic.
Yeah.
No, can't be. It would show up
all of a sudden the Barbarians would be a real brand again. They would take the Rugby World Cup with them wherever they went. Presumably, the Rugby World Cup would have to go back to Dublin because that's where World Rugby headquarters are.
We need some.
Yeah.
God, that'd be a disaster, wouldn't it?
It's not that I'm a big fan of nationalism, but I want a bit more than that. So here we go. Former All Blacks, Mark Nolan, Stephen Luatua, Victor Vito have joined Charles Piatau and Frank Halai as players who would link to a switch to a Pacific Islands nation for the next Rugby World Cup. Piatau and Halai, who've both have Tongan ancestry, want World Rugby to loosen the eligibility rules to allow capped players to return to Tier 2 nations. An identical policy has been introduced in Rugby League, and the Daily I can't believe I feel dirty now. It's someone else reporting a Daily Mail story.
Ooh.
They report Nonu and Vito could also make themselves available for Samoa under the proposal. Piatau said, if there's a way to do it, I want to give something back and play for Tonga at the 2019 World Cup.
I've earned my millions from Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I no longer can make money from the All Blacks. Can I make money from Samoa, please? Or Tonga?
But it goes to show that, you know, money is one thing, but playing in World Cups is special.
Yeah. And I think it is.
And Charles Piatau made his choice and no one would begrudges him that. But there's a choice and there's a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his choice.
Yeah. Mm. It'd be interesting to see. And you would never get a true answer. But if he had his time again, if he had those two options on the table, win a World Cup or sign at the time that he did, I think I know which one he would choose.
I think I know which one he would choose. Tony Wilson, who's a famous Mancunian,
he
founded Factory Records. And so
no wonder I
started the whole Manchester music thing, the Hacienda and all that. He said, you either make money or history.
Mm.
So well, Charles Piatau made
both. Yeah, I mean, Bill Gates would disagree with him.
Right, other games.
Yeah, go on.
Can I briefly touch on the Pro 12?
Yes,
Please do the Pro 14.
Sorry, Pro 14. I still not quite got it in my head. Just like I've still not quite got Zebra in my head.
I'll tell you what. We can briefly name every single one of the people watching the Cheetahs Scarlets game. John,
David,
and Steve. That was it.
Yeah.
No, there's got to be a ruin in there.
Oh yeah, there was a ruin.
Yeah, and
Johan and John.
Yeah,
that was it. That's the five of them.
So two games to touch on because they're the ones I've seen. Cheetahs Scarlets. Cheetahs, so it is a depleted Scarlets team.
Depleted audience watching. Depleted audience.
Do you know
Cheetahs, so Scarlets scored a couple of brilliant tries.
They did, yeah.
Cheetahs Craig Barry sounds like the most Welsh man ever.
Yep.
Craig Barry is an electric South African winger who scored. He scored two tries, one of which will be a contender for try of the season.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Brilliant from inside his own half.
You mock the attendance at the Cheaters game.
Absolutely, I do. It was awful.
Because there's no one there. It's going to turn itself around because South Africa love rugby. The Cheaters are actually really good.
And they've got some, like, maybe not in this game, the biggest name was Mike Phillips in this game. And James, silver medalist, Olympic silver medalist James Davis.
Yeah.
But there will be some big players going there.
Yeah, they're going to have Glasgow. Well, they have had Glasgow going there. They've had
when you have Leinster going there, you'll have like two, three times British and Irish Lions
going
there.
I just think it's time to bed in. The more this goes on, the more of a good idea I think it actually is.
And it's a great break to your season to go and have 2 weeks in South Africa.
I'd love to know what the viewing figures are in South Africa. I can imagine it's not much. And it's going to be absolutely critical. Is anyone in South Africa going to watch if there's not a South African team in the playoffs? I would say zero.
Yeah, you're right.
Unlikely.
But I mean, and what does the league table look like, though?
Well, the other problem from a South African perspective is, are there going to be... Well, so right now there are zero South African national squad players playing for that Cheaters team.
There's three.
As in that game.
Oh, right, sorry.
Because South Africa and Cheaters were playing at the same time.
Yep.
But yeah, the question is, how many are going to stay seasons going forward? Or will they just go to Super Rugby?
And the other thing is, they have to run two squads for the Currie Cup as well.
Yeah.
And apparently they're very, very good in the Currie Cup. Well, they were very good at the Currie Cup. This year they're not. And that is a big problem for them.
Yeah.
But are they in playoff contention? They must be right up there now.
Oh, yeah. They are.
They need... purely standing back from any supporting any club.
So they're third.
They need a South African team in those playoffs. Otherwise, it's just going to completely fizzle out and garner no interest whatsoever.
How many playoffs are there? It's not just the top four, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is it? It'll be tough for them to get, because Glasgow and Munster are...
Well, Munster aren't doing that well, are they?
Glasgow's still unbeaten. Munster are 7 points ahead of them in the league.
Yeah, 10 wins. Sorry, 7 wins to 6 wins. So,
but the bonus points.
Oh, I see. Oh dear. Never mind.
But the other game, just to briefly mention.
Benetton, my team, my boys.
Your boys.
I've seen my Benetton top.
I have. Yeah.
I've got myself a Benetton top now.
So, in the course of this podcast, you supported Bath, then Exeter.
I've never supported Bath.
You did. You did. Bath for,
you did.
No, I didn't. I've always liked the kit.
No. I'm not criticizing.
No, I've always liked the kit.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just documenting.
I still love Exeter.
No. Yeah, I know. You've always loved Exeter, but you had a massive, massive thing for Bath.
You did.
Yeah, you did. I'm not criticizing. Grandest... You're getting very defensive.
No, Bath is one of the grandest clubs.
Yeah.
Grandest sports teams. Yeah. I love world sports.
I love going to Bath.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah, I know. So what I'm saying is, you had a love affair with Bath, a love affair with Exeter.
Still having love
affair. That's been
with
that's been a long standing. That would be like people who have adulterous affairs over many many years. That's your Exeter. It might even be a second wife that you have in a house somewhere
more
else
like,
in the country.
Maybe it's more like this.
Lead.
Thank you. Oh, that's because I'm leaning on it. Maybe it's more like the university fling that I can't stop texting. I mean, I don't have one of them on my phone. I don't. But no, the idea is I'm going to try and get into Italian rugby. See if I can enjoy it. See what they're feeling.
So to document Bath, Exeter, Sale. Then you were flirting with the idea of Worcester a couple of weeks ago, but now Benetton have got your affections.
Mm.
You're a rugby hussy.
That's the beauty of not supporting a team. You can support them all.
Mm. Now I am monogamous now.
You're exclusive.
Exclusive, single-minded. Albeit, my first team is probably England, then Ulster, then the entirety of the Avicii Premiership, then my beloved Hurricanes, which I'm actually wearing a Hurricanes top right now.
See, I would say Wales are so far below my love for Bath, Exeter, Sale,
Benetton, Cheetahs.
And Glasgow,
yeah.
I support more rugby teams than Snoop Dogg supports NFL teams.
You need to get a number 10 shirt then, don't you, with your man? what a it's Benetton that
McKinley plays for. McKinley, yeah. Yeah, that is a great story.
That is a great story.
Dean Budd.
What are you learning? Good man. I've spoken to a couple of people.
Tommaso Allen.
I've spoken to a couple of people at games recently that don't believe me when they think I'm saying it. They go, "Who's your team?" I don't have one. They don't believe me. I don't have a team. And it's the only thing I can say is I used to go and watch Bath when I was a kid, back in the Victor Obogu, Gareth Chilcott days. Gareth Chilcott was my favourite player when I was a.
Well, the more you get to know people, the more you support their individual success. I find, like, you always supported London Irish.
Well, no, I haven't. I supported whoever Nick was playing for.
Yeah, exactly. Sale, Nottingham, London Irish, whoever.
I just used to follow them, but London Irish were also my local club growing up.
I want Leon to win if, you know, say Carl Ferns is playing, or if
Sale, if any of the boys you talked to there.
Yeah, or
Leicester if Tom Brady's playing.
Or anyone that I've interviewed, I kind of root for them.
Or Maitland, great mates.
Great mates. I've not interviewed him, but we are great mates.
He doesn't drink.
He definitely doesn't drink.
Definitely doesn't
that
drink.
Much.
The one other game that I just wanted to mention in the Pro 14 was the Dragons Ulster game, which was a spectacular game if you were neutral. It was an unbelievably infuriating game as an Ulster supporter. Dragons actually looked really good, and Henson ran the show quite well, but Ulster kept on getting ahead and then going behind, and then Dragons would come back into it, and then Ulster would go ahead, and then Dragons would come back into it. And then Ulster undeservingly drew level in the 79th minute, and Leo Leofano had a relatively easy kick to win the game and fluffed it. And so probably a deserved draw for the Dragons. The best performance, or the most noticeable performance, other than Henson, was probably Craig Gilroy, who feels, I imagine he feels Stockdale's presence quite a lot, because Gilroy was supposed to be the next exciting winger.
He is quite exciting. He's got great
Ulster. Yeah, but he was supposed to be doing it at the national stage, and he's kind of been in around the squad when there's people been away and injuries, but
not done it
in the same way that Stockdale has done it in this autumn series. So he took two tries very well.
And the biggest joke of all the Pro 14, you want to talk about the Ospreys very briefly, getting absolutely battered on again this weekend?
Yeah, by Munster. And do you know what? Ian Keatley's playing very nicely for them. And someone that I thought was just going there to kind of, I don't know, just be a squad player, but
Munster.
Rory Scannell.
Scannell's a good player.
Scannell, inside centre, looks really good.
He is a good player. He's a good carrier.
They're kind of hands. When you actually look at the names on their team sheet, they're kind of a sort of, it seems like a hodgepodge, but they're playing really nicely at the minute.
So I think at the moment they've probably rested a load of the guys who've been playing for Ireland because they've got Champions Cup
double
mix
up against Leicester. We should get into the weekend's rugby ahead. Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Let's do. Do I want to mention one more thing on Pro 12? Did someone lose or win, which is exciting? No, Glasgow just beat Cardiff.
One thing I will just mention is that the Dubai Sevens is the opening stage of the World Sevens Series, which kicked off this weekend as well. England got third place.
I'd love to go.
South Africa,
Sevens,
who were the champions last year, won it. Cecil Africa dominating once again.
Shall we put it on our to-do list next year?
What's
go
that?
To Dubai Sevens.
Dubai or Hong Kong?
I think I'd probably prefer Dubai.
That's July.
Either or.
July.
We've got nothing else to do in July.
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Well, let's do that as well then.
Yeah. So
perfect.
I'm just going to remind you that tickets for the Rugby World Cup Sevens in San Francisco in July is open now, and ticket sales are going brilliantly well. It's going to be an amazing event. What's really cool about San Francisco is you could ski in Lake Tahoe, drive a couple of hours to San Francisco and have
someone here with it,
and have a big party, and then head down the coast to the beach. I did California, that West Coast, in April this year, and did Yosemite National Park, San Francisco, LA, the Pacific Highway. It's an amazing place. So,
right.
Good holiday, which you can tag on a Rugby World Cup. Tickets available now.
Eggchasers.com.
Not eggchasers.com. Not eggchasers.com, but I'm hopeful that if we get out there, we might be able to host some events in San Francisco for like the, you know, there's après ski. We'll do the après rugby Everyone gets tanked up, dressed up for the sevens, and then they come and we'll make sure they have a good night.
Right, why don't you tell everyone about our Madrid trip then, as we're doing trips. All right. And then we'll go into next week's games.
Yeah, so March 10th, 11th is the weekend of the Six Nations, but it's also a weekend when we're going to be going celebrating and investigating and supporting Tier 2 rugby in their concurrent competition, the European Rugby...
Champions Nations
Champion
Cup.
Nations
Cup final.
Country Cup Final Cup. Yeah, so the Tier 2 tournament, and we're going to go and see...
Rugby Nations Cup.
Rugby Nations, European...
European Rugby Nations Cup,
whatever it's called.
No, is it Rugby Europe Cup? Anyway,
we went to
they need to work on their branding.
We went to Bucharest in March to see Romania v Georgia. We're going to see Spain v Germany, two of the really exciting emerging Tier 2 nations. It's also a great opportunity just to get together in a nice sunny place, have a bunch of bevvies, watch a load of Six Nations rugby on the Saturday. That we could be a game even on the Friday and social drinking on the Friday.
There's no game on the Friday.
No game. Okay, no so game just on just enjoying Madrid and a bit of social on the Friday night. Six Nations rugby and some drinks in Madrid all day. The Sunday, a rugby brunch live podcast followed by Spain versus Germany, followed by because the full time will be the start of Wales versus Italy, the final Six Nations game, Sunday night out. But in amongst that, I mean, JB and I, we got our direct sources at World Rugby last week when we were at the World Rugby Awards, didn't we?
Oh my, oh my.
The surprises are bona fide.
They certainly are, mate. They certainly are. I get quite excited just thinking about it. we've only got about 30 tickets left. We've sold 170, which is maximum.
You're kidding?
No. And they've managed to squeeze in an extra 30 odd places. So if you want them, they are.
Whereabouts? Because some people have been asking whereabouts in Madrid is the venue. Because I think it's worth trying to get a place near the venue for the podcast. Because that's going to be tough to get up on a Sunday for brunch.
I have no idea, mate. It's somewhere centrally in Madrid.
What's it called?
O'Neill's.
Is that where it is? Is that
yes, it is. But without looking at all my emails and stuff,
the O'Neill's. It's a tapas bar in Madrid. Yeah. Find out the location of that, because a lot of people... Well, just book your flights. March 10th, 11th. Some people are coming on the Saturday morning. Some people come in on the Friday. I'll be going on the Friday.
We're out on the Friday.
You're out on Friday, evening. Right, brilliant.
It's Champagne Friday, isn't it? Yeah. What else would I be doing?
So just book your tickets, because flights are dirt cheap from all over the UK and Ireland at the minute. Get yourself out there. There'll be a load of rugby fans. It'll be a brilliant way to watch the Six Nations. And actually, I've got to say, for all the travelling out to Bucharest and stuff, it worked out a much cheaper day on the piss, watching Six Nations.
Oh, yeah.
By a mile.
Yeah.
Well, no, it didn't. It didn't. I mean, you say it
No, if you'd have had the same amount of drink in England.
Yeah. It's a good point. So the drinks were very cheap.
Habits were very expensive.
It wasn't a cheap day though.
Yeah, but if you will frequent those type of places, no, they didn't go to those type of places.
Yeah, we spent an awful lot of money.
I'm just so excited to see everyone.
Yeah, we actually increased the GDP of Romania about 2% that weekend.
The venue that we had, we invited people to drinks for the Six Nations on the Saturday, it was
the biggest ever taking.
Bearing in mind this was in March, so out of season when there's tourists there, is they said, when can you come again? That was the biggest day of takings ever,
by some distance.
They were very happy with
us. Well, we didn't do it all ourselves. We have our fans to thank.
Well, absolutely. Listeners. So there's a load of us coming out. So get yourself flights booked up. Details on our Facebook page, Egg Chasers. Just search there. Or you can email, if you've got any questions, contact eggchasers@gmail.com. And we'll help as much as we can.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb.
Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can. Right, next week's games.
Europe. Right. And I've picked a game of the week as well.
Brilliant.
So starting off, there are some corkers this week as well.
Sorry, Challenge Cup fans.
Yeah. Well, we'll do the sale game because they're playing someone, aren't they?
Are they?
Don't care.
Cardiff. Big game.
Cardiff. Oh,
is
yeah.
it? Is it?
Huge, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
So starting off, Friday Night Lights. Oh wait, there's normally a game on a Thursday night, isn't there?
There's usually Challenge Cup.
Yeah, Challenge Cup game on a Thursday night is Toulouse versus Lyon. That'd be quite interesting.
Ish.
Okay, Friday Night Lights, Glasgow host Montpellier.
Glasgow they've got 1 foot out of the competition already. Yeah.
So they're 0-2. 2-0? 0-2.
Don't think Glasgow can win this, actually. I mean, I really want them to win it. They're 10 from 10 in the Pro 14. Good outfit, great club. I really want them to win it. I just think Montpellier will be too big and too powerful. But they're all travelling, aren't they?
Montpellier are travelling, yeah. Different outfit. Give me Glasgow. Rekindle Glasgow. Their hopes.
Yeah, I'm going to go Glasgow as well.
Glasgow find themselves on 0 points.
Yeah.
Leinster have 10, Exeter have 8. So many people would probably suggest Glasgow are out unless they get back-to-back wins against Montpellier.
Which will be tricky.
It will be. So for that reason, I think, because they're still in it and they're at home, I think Glasgow will win.
Yeah.
And they've got all the Scottish players back as well. And they'll be
And a lot of them will have been rested this weekend, gone as well.
Well, a lot of them will have taken a week to get over the hangover. Some of them appeared like they might have had it in them.
Then,
well-earned as well.
So that's in Pool 3.
Yeah.
Then on Saturday, jump into Pool 5 at 1 p.m. We've got Scarlets hosting Benetton. Your team, JB.
Here we go, boys.
They're the two bottom sides. Benetton have 1 point, Scarlets have 2, and Bath and Toulon have 8 points in that pool. That looks a weak pool.
Benetton are dual.
Like, relative.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's
lots of big teams, but
best team in Italy?
Toulon aren't where they normally are. Scarlets haven't played well. Bath aren't quite as strong as they could be.
But this is the pool that you would expect a second placer to come from, because you would generally historically get 10 points from Benetton.
I think Benetton are due a win in this competition. So are they hosting Scarlets?
They are away at Scarlets.
No, maybe week after them.
So Scarlets will just have flown back from South Africa, but give me Scarlets. Then, sticking with Pool 5, we've got the other fixture, Toulon hosting Bath. I think Toulon will be too strong.
Toulon at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, in Pool 2, Northampton host Ospreys.
Ooh, what a disgusting game.
Yeah, with Claremont and Saracens in their pool. This is
bad.
Yeah, so the bottom two, Northampton on 0 points, Ospreys on 3 points. But
where did Ospreys get 3 points from? That's bonus points.
Oh, yeah, bonus points.
Bonus points, yeah.
Two against Saracens because they were close and they got...
One against Clermont.
Northampton.
Yeah. But at the same time... Oh, this isn't a great fixture either. At the same time, 5:30 on Saturday, Cast host Racing.
Again, the two bottom sides. So basically, Saturday. If you can only get one day in front of the telly... Make it Sunday.
God damn it, I can only do Saturday. I've got to go to see Father Christmas on a train on Sunday.
Oh my God.
Kill me. I'm going to throw myself in front of the
take
train.
Him some corners, I thought take my him some weekend, cornerstone razors.
Yeah.
For his sack.
I thought my weekend this weekend was bad. That sounds awful.
No, I went
no,
to...
No, it's not steam train, mate. I love steam trains.
So
no,
positive.
Friday night, I was watching Northampton v Newcastle. By the way, how disgusting was that kit? Clash. Well, not clash. It wasn't a clash, but just the two kits together just looked horrendous.
The other talking point from that game, how has Courtney Laws got
a top knot? Have we not mentioned that before now on the podcast?
Well, I think this was the first time it's appeared, but I'm sure I can't remember his hair being long enough for a top knot. Like 2 weeks
extensions.
I was thinking hair extensions.
It's a terrible top knot.
It's a bad looking top knot. Mm.
Is it worth mentioning Matavesi dominating through the 10-12 channel?
Is it worth mentioning that it's a nice idea, but it's a big ask to put Grayson in at fly half and that backfires?
Huge ask. Yeah. Right. And huge.
It feels like, so RC Tuala, who's been playing 15 and been playing very well, he's dropped to the bench because Malinder wants to play 15, but him playing 15 means that Grayson plays 10, which just, you're kind of like weakening the whole loop of your team by doing that.
Piers Francis was available, but
they didn't start him.
Malinder has got to learn to tackle technique-wise properly. He's going to get himself like badly injured.
His tackles are just so passive as well. I mean, he does make them, whereas Grayson just...
Yeah, I suppose he's only 21 still.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Grayson, like 20? Maybe younger than that.
Yeah.
And he really struggled with Matavesi. Between the two of them,
Matavesi is enormous, though.
He is, yeah. But between the two of them, they just don't really offer anything defensively. Anyway.
That was a late win as well. So all the televised games on BT Sport were all dramatic late wins. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Bath Exeter one, not. Yeah.
So we're all saying Northampton, but not a great game. And Cast Racing.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to win that. What of them going to win?
Cast are doing reasonably well this season. They're on 7 wins out of 12, same as Racing.
Cast got so roundly hammered by Leicester, which is the only game I've seen. I'll go Racing.
Yeah.
This pool is open.
Then the final game of Saturday, which probably is worth watching, is Munster hosting Leicester.
Munster. Absolutely, that's worth watching.
Ooh.
So they're top. They're both top. They've both got one win. They're both on 6 points.
Bit of history from last year as well.
Yeah.
Where are they playing?
At Munster, Toneman Park.
Munster are going to win.
Yeah, I think the two teams will win at home.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And also, there's still no Tamua. No Tamua is a big, big deal.
Possibly Tua Lange, though.
It'd be interesting to see. Now, I wouldn't recommend just putting Tua Lange straight back into this. Maybe have him warm up for this one on the sideline.
You're wrong,
maybe then give him 10 minutes.
Because do you know what's going to happen? Sorry to interrupt him, but what will happen, right, is they'll manage him back and they'll have a big game and they're going to have to beat London Irish. And he'll score a try, he'll score two tries and then get injured on 35 minutes out for another month or two. Right? Let him score two tries against a big team and then get injured. Don't waste his 40 minutes on London Irish.
40 minutes in this 6 month window.
I think he's one of those guys. It's binary. Is he fit to play? He starts. Is he not fit to play? Leave him out the squad.
Yes.
What you don't want to Manu Tuilagi off the bench. Just is fraught with danger, isn't it?
Like, I'm just thinking.
We'll give him half an hour. Then he pulls up 5 minutes.
Exactly.
And you're stuck.
And the game's already won.
Yeah.
You've wasted your Tuilagi minutes.
That's a quarter of £1 million for that half an hour.
Cha-ching! God. Someone please do the pounds per minute that Leicester have spent.
Ooh. Right. Sunday. So, 1 o'clock. There are two games in Pool 1.
This is the pool with La Rochelle on 10 points, Wasps on 5, Ulster on 4, Harlequins on 1.
This is a good... Hang on. No, carry on.
So, La Rochelle. So both games kicking off at 1 o'clock. La Rochelle hosting Wasps, which, as well as Wasps are doing turning round.
No, oh, sorry, is it this thing?
That's right, it's just buzzing a bit. There you go.
Yeah, as well as Wasps have done, I cannot see them beating La Rochelle.
No, I can't. La Rochelle, very, very good team.
And then...
I tell you what, if anyone wants to just do a European away day, the atmosphere at that place is unbelievable.
Noted.
I'd be up for that.
Unreal.
Then the preceding fixture to our weekend away the following weekend is Harlequins Ulster.
Ooh.
At the Stoop. So
Ulster aren't winning that, are they?
Well,
they're not, are they?
The most Quinsy... So, Ulster have not been playing well. But the most Quinsy thing to do to follow up a great victory against two-time European champion Saracens would be to lose at home to a misfiring Ulster.
There's no way Ulster are beating St Quinn's at the Stoop. You might beat them at Ravenhill, you're not beating them at
give me Ulster.
Equally, Quinn's, yeah, they've got to try and generate some momentum by building victory upon victory. However, it would also be quite a Quincy thing to do to look at that table and go, I know we're only two games in, we're not coming out of this pool, so
yeah,
let's just.
I don't think they operate like that.
I don't think they will.
So they're mathematically out. I think they'll go for it.
So they won't. John Kingston will not be saying that, but I think just the mentality of the Quins. I think, yeah, give me Ulster.
I think, assuming they put out the best possible team.
I think they will. I think both teams will put out the best.
Then I think Quins will nudge it.
Final games. Pool 2, 3:15. This is a big one.
I will be there.
A repeat. Oh, you lucky man.
Yeah.
A repeat of recent, very important European Champions Cup semi-finals, finals, and the rest of it. Saracens host Clermont.
Ooh.
Clermont not doing great in top 14.
Saracens lost five on the bounce.
Saracens lost five on the bounce.
Yeah. Clermont are mid-table in the top 14.
Can we just call it that we used to describe Exeter as the Borg? Sorry, we used to describe Saracens as the Borg. Exeter are the Borg now.
They pretty much are.
They have that hive mind.
Oh, yeah.
That Saracens used to have. Saracens still have, but Exeter just have even more.
Yeah. They've got Hivemind 2.0.
I think they've made a deal. They've made a deal that Saracens take the European Cup, they'll take the domestic cup. And now, you know, like Game of Thrones when they carve up power. That basically is what's going on. So I'm going to go with Saracens because they know how to win and they will win. I think Clermont will fear Saracens more than Saracens fear Clermont.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because they had their England players back, but arguably, it was almost like some of the players were too fresh. Owen Farrell's only played one game in the autumn.
Yeah.
What happened to Lazowski today? Was he not about?
No.
I didn't see him on the bench.
He didn't play.
He must have been on the bench. Didn't come on. Mm. I think he was.
Yeah. Unless Malins was on the bench.
No, I think. No, he's definitely warming up, I think. I saw him in the tunnel. Okay. I should know.
You've watched a lot of rugby and you've done all. You've done a lot of driving to get here time you did, Tim.
This is true.
And it's also getting quite late now.
Yes. So let's go Saracens.
So, yeah, I'm saying Saracens. Yeah, Lazowski was on the bench. And an unused substitute. So, the final game, which is also
our game. Vegas pick of the week. Here you go, Tim.
Go on. So, with our friends at leovegas.com, you can get I actually prefer your much less slick crashing the vocals style. I think that works much better.
Because I'm a professional, I didn't have headphones on.
It's fine.
I know the timings.
So, the pick of the week is, Phil?
It is the top two from pool three. Sandy Park.
Yes, it's a real game.
What a game.
Exeter hosting Leinster.
Wow.
5:30 on Sunday, next Sunday, the 10th. JB will be on a steam train with Santa Claus.
Yep. Well, I'll be on the steam train.
What time's the game? It's a 5:30 kickoff, isn't it? 5:30
kickoff.
I could get back for that.
What do I do then?
Santa, done, gone.
I'm going to have to be in the car driving here to get back for the pod.
Radio.
I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, I might get a train next week then just so I can. Oh, no, no, because it's the works Christmas party on the Monday. I'm down the line. I'm staying in London, so I can watch that.
So you can dial in straight after the game?
I can dial in straight after the game.
Perfect.
So, I haven't seen enough of Leinster, really, to make a good judgment on them.
You know, so Leinster rested quite a lot of players in their thrashing of your beloved Benetton this week.
Unbelievable. Benetton and rested a few players as well, to be fair.
You know so many of that Leinster team.
Yeah, you don't really need to know how they're playing.
They're pretty much all international.
And that's what I was going to say. What I love about the Exeter side is if you were sitting there and going, right, you've got 30 guys there, pick a team out of those 30 guys that are on the field, you'd pick Leinster players in the majority of positions.
Because they're the bigger names.
Because they're the bigger names.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But yeah.
It's names versus...
Exactly.
Patterns and systems.
Oh. And heart, and passion.
And Rob Baxter's...
Exactly.
Rob Baxter's Hive Mind 2.0. His operating system that he's got.
And if you do beat Exeter this week, you won't beat them next week because they'll learn and they'll adjust.
Well, I think Leinster Leinster will win in Dublin.
And they just keep on coming back with more and more and more and more. And by the way, we'll know because we're there in Dublin next week to watch Leinster Exeter.
Yeah.
What a weekend that's going to be.
Are you accredited and all that?
No, we're going as actual people.
Actual fans.
Going as actual people.
Yeah. I'm going to go for drinks.
Before, during and after?
Yep.
I have heard that is... I was chatting to Craig Doyle today and he said that will be the biggest piss-up of the year for Leinster fans. That game next week.
I bet it will. Well, now they know we're going.
So I need a winner, gentlemen. So they've both won 2 out of 2. Leinster have got the perfect 10 points. Exeter have only got 8 points, but they won away at Montpellier, which is
that was
just an enormous, a monumental.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, it's going to be Exeter. It's going to be Exeter. In Sandy Park, definitely. And then they're going to repeat the trick a few weeks later in Dublin.
The next week.
It's
back-to-back games.
I've got a nasty feeling that... So Exeter, they played a lot of their big players this weekend just gone.
That's what they do.
Leinster will have rested a lot of players. They'll be box fresh. And they've done a lot of analysis on this. I think Johnny Sexton is going to... I've got a bad feeling for Exeter.
Stenson will work him out
in
early doors.
You reckon?
Stenson's worked out everyone he's ever played against. I'm pretty sure he's the only man, and I could be wrong, I need someone to check this out. He's basically one of the very few, let's put it that way, who have won the championship final.
Yeah.
And then won a premiership final with the same team.
Yeah.
Maybe someone in Northampton did the same. If they had
Northampton or Quinns, but
no, but they didn't have to go through promotions.
The finals.
It wasn't just Steenson's, though, wasn't there? Ben Moon as well.
Yeah, Ben Moon. Yeah, so there might be a couple of guys in that team, but very, very few.
Yeah.
And actually, did he join before they were in the championship? I don't know. Probably championship, and then.
Yeah.
But he's worked out everyone else along the way.
I do think Leinster.
They're so good in Europe.
Yeah, and it's
I want Exeter to win. I've got a nasty feeling that Leinster are going to sneak it.
I'm going to say Exeter by 6.
Leinster by 3.
Leinster by 7.
Not in Sandy Park, mate. Doesn't happen. My third favourite team in the world. I'm going to do this.
Oh, so who's won? Benetton?
Benetton, obviously.
Yeah,
Benetton. Who's 2 then?
RGC? No, RGC 1. RGC 1.
Tok H2.
Tok H2. Benetton 3.
Then Exeter.
Yeah.
Then Exeter, and then who?
I'm not allowed to talk about Sale, so...
Where would you talk about Sale?
I'm not allowed to talk about him. That's just, it's part of the restraining order. Right, I think we're done. Get out of here.
We are done.
Good work. So much rugby this weekend. So much next weekend.
Let's go and look at. Let's go and look at pictures of Courtney Laws's top knot. I'm off.
Yeah, go and watch the 1990 Grand Slam decider. Let me know what you think. And Phil, have you got a request from the people to watch anything?
I'm trying to think what I've
Craig Barry's try.
Yes, go and watch. So it's on BBC website. Highlights of Scarlets versus Cheetahs. About a minute into that, Craig Barry, young Welshman, Craig Barry's 60-meter try.
Excellent.
Very good.
Love it. Nice one. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.